Good day, nerds, and welcome to episode 35 of the Nerd Cantina Show. Today, we're glad to be joined by Liz and Heather from the Nerdy Bitches podcast, and we're going to talk with them about how they got started into podcasting and what it's like to be women in the nerd culture. It's a great conversation. Stick around and enjoy.
Calling back all nerds. Nerds!
Welcome, nerds, back to another edition of Cantina Conversations. We're here this week with Liz and Heather from the Nerdy Bitches podcast. Today, we just wanted to have a small conversation on what it's like to be a female in the nerd community. I'm a big fan of what these ladies are doing over at the Nerdy Bitches podcast. So we've been trying to work this schedule out for a month and a half, maybe 2 months now, and the four of us finally got a window where we could all sit down together and have a nice little chat. So I'm looking forward to this. So why don't we let you guys kind of introduce yourselves? You know, Liz, if you want to start, what's your background?
Sure. I'm Liz, and I have a background in psychology, industrial organizational psychology. I'm also a photographer, podcaster. I do a little bit of everything, writer, blogger. I kind of retired from the professional grind of training and development because I wanted to poke my eye out every other day. but now I mostly do my podcast with Heather, and I produce another show called The MILF Podcast. And that's a fun one to do work behind the scenes on. And it's not what you mean. It's moms I'd like to follow. Ah. So, yeah. Everybody always says, what? We're like, not like that. So. But close. Heather and I, see, I've been a nerd forever. I guess I call myself the queen of the nerds because I always end up getting the weird little awkward nerd boys to follow me around. And that's, you know, I married one of those and that was fun. So.
And Heather?
Oh, well, I'm just kind of always been a nerd at heart. And this is my only podcast that I've been working on. Me and Liz got together some, I don't know, 5 years ago now. I liked podcasting. I mean, I listened to a lot of podcasts in my commute. My husband had a podcast, but I could not find one out there that was kind of a women focused or just that wasn't just a bunch of dudes sitting around. And no offense to the dudes on the podcast that I'm referring to.
These dudes sitting around.
Yeah.
None. But like, you know, like the any ones that were with females, they were kind of more trying to just be titillating. And it's not that we're against titillating podcast, have at it. I was just like, I really want to talk about, you know, the next Batman, for example.
No, there's definitely a void that you guys are filling in the podcasting community.
Yeah, so I ended up getting an email from Heather, and she and I have been friends for quite a while. I actually met her husband through my working through training and development and met her over our joint interest in vampire romance novels, strangely, which I don't read anymore. You may, I don't know.
No.
But we've been friends for a long time and we used to get together and hang out and watch movies and do crafts and stuff. And she sent me an email one day, probably shortly after my birthday, 1 year, we'd been sitting around talking and completely like ignoring the other 30 people that were here. So she sends me an email and it says, hey, I've got this idea. And it's going to be a ton of work, a lot of fun. It'll make us absolutely no money. Are you in? That's
fucking
that's
down.
Yeah,
I'm down.
I was like, of course I'm in. That literally describes every project that I absolutely love to work on. I had no idea what she was talking about. I barely even understood the concept of a podcast because I didn't listen to that. I had given up a commute, so I didn't even listen to radio anymore. So
I don't even think you had an iPhone at the time. And yes, that's where did. Most yes, people were listening no, to podcasts.
No. Opera Man got me an iPhone the second I moved in with him. Are you kidding me?
Yeah,
that's
I guess
a good I'm man.
Opera Man. Yeah, my husband is an opera singer. So
that's very interesting. Without giving any, I don't want to age anybody, but
we're old.
Yeah, we're
giving
old.
It like you could just give a decade. You know that you guys kind of grew up in, and what was your kind of like interest as children, you know, growing up that kind of defined your nerdiness?
Well, Heather and I are a couple of years apart. She's about the same age as my younger brother.
Yeah,
and
I'm an 80s baby, so we can just kind of clarify by
yeah,
by
we're late those. Late 70s. We're late 70s, early 80s.
I don't know, 79 is not an 80s baby.
Well, I was 76, so. Oh,
yeah. No one needs to know the difference. Yeah.
Everybody knows.
I'm 1980, so I barely made the cusp.
Yeah. So I think we're called Xennials or something like that now. Isn't that what they're called?
I'm still hanging on to Gen X. They can bite me.
Yeah, Gen X and Gen Y merged to like some Xennial crap.
Yeah, who knows?
I don't know.
Well, so yeah, so I was born in 76. My parents took me at 9 months old to see Star Wars. Like, I guess they didn't have a babysitter, so they just said, hey, let's take an infant to the movies. That sounds great. So, you know, that's just kind of like the birth of my nerddom. My dad's an accountant. My mom's an artist, so they're just naturally nerdy. And so, you know, obviously all the stuff y'all probably grew up with, He-Man and Transformers and G.I. Joes and She-Ra's and blah, 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 blah. So
yes,
all of the good stuff. Yeah. Yeah. So all of those. And, you know, if you had, like, I had a little brother and a little sister, so I saw the stuff that was more aimed at them as well. But, you know, we just love our general geek and nerd stuff. And always, my dad was a big sci-fi fan. So grew up watching Star Trek and Logan's Run and all sorts of obscure bullshit. So,
okay. Heather's yours, your interest the same or
you know, very similar. My parents got divorced when I was younger, so I actually had four parents, all accountants, and actually I was
four accountants.
Yeah. And I was so much nerdier than all of them combined.
You were doomed. Four accountants.
Yeah, I know. I'm the black sheep of the family. I went into supply chain.
No, if you were like a opera singer, then you'd be the black sheep.
Yeah.
That would be the totally opposite.
Well, my sister went into accounting, so it all worked out in there.
So now, did you find when you were children that you were the lone girls in this big group of men, or did you find that there was other of your peers that were into the same kind of things?
You know, for me, I don't really remember there being a peer group around any of this stuff. Like, I mean, it was there. It was just what we all watched and did because we all watched and grew up at the same time. I don't think that, you know, everybody loved Star Wars. It was mainstream enough that that wasn't super geeky. And a lot of people like Star Trek, so it's not a huge thing. I don't really remember rolling as a giant nerd through school, but I liked all the nerdy stuff. So I think, like, in my case, I'm a very social person. I'm very outgoing. I was in the choir. I was in the, you know, an athletic trainer for the football team, like all those kind of things. So I roll, like, I'm a chameleon. I can just roll with just about anybody. So I'm introverted. I'm outgoing. Not the same thing, but I can manage to do both. But yeah, I don't really remember. I mean, so I did sign up for the astronomy club, but that was to get out of a math test I didn't want to do. But Heather was in the chess club. I wasn't.
Yeah. That was actually one of our first episodes was I was like thinking, oh, you know, like I really wasn't a nerd in high school. I mean, sure, I was in the chess and magic club and sure,
you know, you played D&D every Friday.
And I was like,
but
wait a second. You know,
but I can't picture myself as a nerd.
Yeah.
Right. I think though, when we were younger, at least, you know, for me, there's a very different kind of nerd that everybody, you know, think of like Revenge of the Nerds, right? Like this was the pocket protector and the big thick glasses and aspie as hell, you know, those kind of things. Like that's I think what a lot of people really felt in that nerd thing.
Especially what you're talking about, you know, in the 80s and 90s where what you mentioned before, like the He-Man and the She-Ra and all that stuff, that was just pop culture. That was not considered, if you were a fan of those or whatever else, you were just a kid and you were having fun. And even if you like played Nintendo and stuff, Nintendo wasn't considered video gaming at that point in time, wasn't even really nerdy. It was just pop culture.
Well, it was family oriented. Yeah, like it was all family stuff.
The nerdy was, you know, the D&D, the comic books, and those were the people, those are the nerds. And then everybody else was, that was just a part of pop culture. And it really transformed that the term nerd has now rolled in a whole lot of other things. We have brought in a whole lot of other things. It really is just a term towards kind of passionate.
I think, I was going to say it more goes towards passion for certain categories nowadays than the category itself.
Definition of geek and nerdy is passionate fandom. So whatever that is, you can be a sports nerd. There's a lot of nerdy people out there. I mean, if you can name me every jock and every sport and every stat, I was married to a jock the first time around And he never, ever in his lifetime would have been like, he never would have considered himself to be a nerd.
No, yeah.
But again, if you can
we run a fantasy football league and we say it all the time. Well, it's just Dungeons and Dragons for nerds.
And I mean, I started doing fantasy football as a jock. I started doing fantasy football back when, you know, there was no apps or anybody doing it. It was magazines you had to buy with a notebook.
Yeah, I had to do the stats every week out of the newspaper.
And but we could still defend ourselves, not as nerds. And it was really, when I reflect on it now, what I had to do to justify the fact that I wasn't a nerd back then, just to somehow seem okay with it, was pretty ridiculous.
Just to feel better about yourself.
And
it's
then
all right.
Here I am now, embracing the term.
Yeah, I was on the, you know, high school football team and things like that. I was in the popular crowd, but I always had that nerd kind of like in the closet kind of nerd. All my cool friends, if I said something not like too out of place, I'd get a lot of shit for it. So I kind of learned to keep that in the background. My senior and junior year, I was actually on the speech team and did a few of the like impromptu plays and things like that, and I kind of let my nerd out a little more, and then, you know, once you get out of high school, you don't give a shit what anybody thinks anymore, so you just embrace it.
Yeah,
that's kind of the route that I ended up taking.
Yeah, like I wasn't huge into comic books necessarily, but I like that stuff. Like I always liked the Incredible Hulk and I like Spider-Man. I like all of those different things that were in my realm, but I wasn't hanging out at a comic book store. Like my brother did more comics. He read a lot of the Star Wars books when he was young. I have since read every Star Wars book since they reset the canon. Every one of them, I have read them. And that's kind of like, that. I guess that's my biggest nerddom. It's probably Star Wars.
Yeah, it wasn't until my early 20s I actually started collecting. But as a kid, I, you know, if somebody had a comic book out, I'd always kind of be like, hey, what are you reading over there? Like, what do you got over there? You know, it wasn't until I got a little older that I started actually diving in and purchasing things and really just kind of embraced it. But I always had that, you know, I grew up with, you know, Aliens and you know, the Star Wars and all that stuff. So it was hard not to kind of like immerse yourself in nerd culture early on. I do have a strict definition though for nerd and dork. Like you kind of like generalize that they're almost the same, and I think they are actually vastly
nerd
different.
Nerd and geek are the same.
Or nerd,
dork is very different.
Well, even geek. So like geek and dork I equate almost the same. So I tell my buddy is the kind of Star Wars fan that knows every vehicle name and like the fuel capacity of them and things, and I say, you're the dork. All right, I'm the nerd. I love the movie. I know the characters. I know enough about it to have a conversation, but I still don't know the model, you know, AT-AT. And
you are wearing a blueprint of AT-AT right now.
Once again, Target 3 for $20. You buy the shirt. You know, like it's just how it goes.
He's like, I'm not a dork. I don't know all the schematics of the AT-AT.
Yeah, it's literally on my chest, and I still don't know.
Now, did he just label you as a dork at this point in time?
Yes.
I think shots are fired here.
Well, here's the deal. Like I've read every book. But I'm a big picture kind of gal. So I can read the same books over and over, and I'm always still surprised by little detail. I don't remember the little details in shit. Heather's more detail oriented than I am in just about everything. I like the big picture. But I also like I went after the books because it was, you know, it was years. I didn't even start these until probably 2012 or 13 was the first time I ever read a Star Wars book, and it was from the Legends. It was Timothy Zahn, who's, you know, amazing. Mm-hmm. We've now met him, and he's our new BFF, so that's fun.
He's going to be at Batman.
You know, no big deal.
No big deal.
No big deal.
I was desperate for more. You know, when we got these shitty prequel movies, it was like, that's not the more I was looking for. So I, you know, when they and the Legends collection was way too daunting to try to dive into. I mean, I read the Thrawn trilogy and then the Hand of Thrawn duology, but I didn't dive into anything else because there's just too much and there's too many writers and they're not connected and you just start learning weird stuff and it's like, well, I don't know what's happening. But when they said they were going to reset the canon, I was like, okay, now I can be in from the beginning and know everything. So that's going, like, I don't read every novelization. I don't read every YA book that comes out, and I don't read the comics. I've had a few, but not a lot. But for the most part, the adult novels, I have read every one of them. And I'm just always desperate for that more information. So I don't know what the fuel capacity of an AT-AT is, but I can show you the difference between an AT-AT and an AT-ST.
So you could walk that line. You could just walk that nerd dork line and jump across every once in a while when you want.
Well, for me, the geek is more of the passionate fandom. The nerd is like the smart stuff.
Yeah,
right? I'm good with the smart stuff. The dork is just the awkward stuff, mm-hmm. in my opinion. Like, there's just the people who are a little bit
socially awkward.
Yeah, like, yeah, a little bit on that. You know, like, my husband walks the line between nerdy and dorky for sure. I call him a dorkable because, well, he is. So, but he could tell you a lot of those things, or he could tell you like all sorts of shit that happened in the Lord of the Rings that he read when he was 13. I was like, I've read the book 5 times. I don't understand why you remember these things. And sometimes you're wrong. So,
but yeah, I think though that is one of these definition, you know, issues that we keep running into. I remember my dad's girlfriend got real flustered because she's like, "Well, it's nice that you and your husband are both nerdy." I don't mean it like that. I'm like, I am absolutely not offended by the definition nerdy. so don't worry about that.
It's an endearing term nowadays. Yeah. It really is.
Yeah,
we're not worried about the term bitches either. Yeah, I mean, that's just one we decided to take back. We're like, no, we're taking that one back.
I grew up listening to a lot of gangster rap, so it just flows off my tongue way more than it should, actually.
Well, we took it back from that, so we're making it a much more enjoyable thing, though we do bitch about things. We have a bitch of the week section that we will do from time to time, so.
I'm still waiting for a female to look at me and say, "We can say that. You can't say that anymore." No, only we could say that.
We don't care.
Yeah, we generally call men bitches more than we call women bitches. It's just how it works.
That's call them whiny bitches. What we call them. So.
Yeah, we run into that, and I think that, you know, growing up, we didn't notice it as much. In fact, it probably wasn't even until the last 5 or 6 years that I started to realize that I am segmented separately by being a woman nerd, as opposed to just being a nerd in general. Mm-hmm. It seems to be a newer phenomenon for me, but maybe because we now have a podcast and it's out there. But I didn't think about the two things being different.
Well, it is a different perspective. So, you know, most of these things have been made by men for men for a very long time. And, you know, that's the one thing that we strive for with our podcast is we always say that, you know, we're not just talking to ourselves. We're trying to start a conversation, and we want people to join in on that conversation through, you know, whatever social media and whatnot. So we want to hear, you know, if the women that listen to our podcast feel the same way, or if they've seen it differently. I hang out with I have a lot of rapper friends, so I'm always interested, you know, like what my black friends thought of this, we all come from different cultures, different backgrounds, and you don't want to be stuck in like an echo chamber of the same thoughts and the same opinions. So I find, you know, that's why what drew me to your guys' podcast is that I wanted to hear that the nerdy female perspective. And if we agree with each other, if you guys seen something that I didn't see, and you know, it always makes for better conversation and better growth in our cultures, you know. So I do appreciate what you guys are doing in the podcast.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. I do remember going to the Hateful Eight. They had a release on Christmas Day, and it sold out, so you could see it on the special. I can't remember. Film Nerds, what is the special film that they used on the Hateful Eight in that release?
33mm or 80-something millimeter. Yeah.
There you go. So I went to go see that, you know, and I was in line to sold-out show with my husband, but I looked around, and I'm like, I am the only one here with a vagina.
Yep. That happens a lot. If you go into gaming stores and comic book stores, especially, you will find a lot of eyes following you around the store. So yeah. My husband used to host some meetups for playing D&D at a local gaming shop. And I didn't ever play with them because I didn't want to. And I've played in the past, but it wasn't ever anything I was super into. And then I went into the shop to meet up with him. And it's just like the magic boys. They're just like these eyes just follow you. They're like, girl. You're like, oh, God. So, but you kind of get used to it. I mean, I guess I'm used to it. We go to Comic Palooza a lot and we have a lot of
that, you know what? That has
there.
A lot of female representation.
That does now. I don't think it always did, but it has a lot, and especially cosplayers and whatnot. But we know a lot of people, and you know, we've been able to make friends. Like I said, Heather said, we started recording almost 5 years ago, been on the air since like January of 2015. So, you know, we get around in the circles of different podcast groups, and especially we work with a group called Lady Pod Squad, and it's just a whole bunch of lady podcasters who have all kind of banded together just, you know, to not feel as alone. But we've got like, I don't know, like 1,400 people or something in that group on Facebook. It's insane. Mm-hmm.
Do you find the females just kind of maybe sit, you know, back and aren't as vocal as the male nerds because it's a little bit more intimidating to be like in that room of D&D with all dudes, or is it just a lower population than
I think it's
the male counterpart?
Yeah,
it's probably a quieter population, but I think just as strong and just as vocal in their own way. And like I said, it's weird when you're the only person in a room of any kind that's, you know, different from everyone else. So whether you're a woman, whether you're, you know, a person of color, whatever it is, if you're different, it's always a little awkward. But it's also, you know, that's a great way to make new friends. And it's a great way to get yourself out there and get to know people who are different from you. You know, Heather and I have talked about it all the time that if we want to be really representative, like we need to go out and we have to actually, you know, hand select people that are different from us, because all, you know, when we get together with all of our friends, we're still all the same, no matter what we look like, no matter what gender, what color, what, you know, sexual orientation, whatever it is, we're still the same because we all have the same basic love for this stuff, the nerd stuff, podcasting in general, you know, all of that kind of stuff is a lot of fun. And these people are amazing. But I wouldn't call us a terribly diverse group just because we all have very, very similar interests. And it feels like a much bigger group now because we are in with this one convention and we're very tight with our Houston podcasting community here. Excuse me. So there's a lot of people who, you know, we know now through different podcasting circles who are not geeks and nerds. Like we know a lot of true crime and we know a lot of, the comic book guys and the cult movies and, you know, but everybody does their own thing. But we all have a basic liking for each other, which is nice.
Yeah.
Well, I find there's two reactions that, you know, when a female nerd will walk into a D&D room or, you know, just the comic book store, there's one of two reactions that I notice. It's either animosity, like, what's she doing here? I bet she doesn't know as much as I do, kind of like animosity. Mm-hmm. Or they just seen their future wife. There's really like almost no in between with the reactions, because it's either, oh my God, this is a female that likes the same things I do, and instantly you guys have kids, you've already gone down the aisle, like it's already planned in their head, or it's that angry nerd animosity, like, I bet she doesn't even know what the fifth gemstone is.
My favorite thing in the world is proving some nerdy dude wrong when he thinks he knows more than I do about something just because I have breasts and a vagina. Like, it's like, that is not.
Well, I think that's generalist, because I think being right, the overwhelming feeling you get when you prove someone wrong, I think that's universal for everybody. I think we all can bask in that glory.
Well, Heather and I came into podcasting at a very tricky time for women in the nerd community. We started up right around the time that Gamergate did. So there were all of these men, all of these celebrity men, and they're doxing women, and they're, you don't know this, and you're not a real gamer, and we're going to give out your information, and we're going to send somebody to rape and kill you, and like all of this bullshit that comes out. And so when we started our podcast, we're like, you know, we're going to have to be real careful how we traverse this, because we don't want that to happen, obviously, but we also don't want to just sit quietly in the night, because fuck you, we're not going to do that. That's why
we have
podcasts.
So put bitches in the title and get gangster with it.
That's right. And I will tell you, I actually figured out today, I was going over Twitter analytics and stuff today, 68% of our Twitter followers are men.
Yeah.
So that's a huge, like, and it's been that way since the beginning. Like, we really thought it was going to be very slow, and it was. I mean, we have to be 100% organic in all of our growth because we cannot pay to promote our show because of the title.
Preach.
We can't. So they will not allow us.
It's because you have the word bitch in it, right? You can't. Yes. You can't buy ad space.
We cannot buy ad space. We cannot promote our post. You know, we have to be 100% organic, and so our growth was very slow. But I would rather have 100 like really rabid fans than 1 million people who hit the show once and never come back. Right. That's just the way I would much rather roll. And we have that army. I mean, now we're way more than 12 people, which is fantastic. And, you know, this past year we did Bat Month and it just, you know, we went through Podcoin and all this other crap and it just, we just exploded, mm-hmm. which was like, finally, you know?
Yeah.
But we still love it, and we've gone back and we tried to say, you know, we don't want to get involved in things like Gamergate, but you know what? When Me Too came up, we had to step up. There's no way we can continue to sit back. And we thought we're going to get a lot of bullshit and we're going to get a lot of trolls, and we don't. We
just never have. Do you ever get kind of negative feedback or unwanted?
Sometimes.
I guess not ever, but overwhelming or people just taking shots.
Ours are just like weird sex creeper dudes. Like, we've never had anybody tell us that our show sucks.
I'm still waiting for my first sex creeper. I've made it when I get
you'll
my first
know,
sex
you'll
creeper.
Made it.
It was about 2 years for us when we got our first one, and we were so excited. It was like, yes, somebody's harassing us. It's amazing, which sounds insane, but then you know you're outside the realm of people so.
Well, and like your point, it kind of speaks to like what I was saying earlier is I talk to dudes about this stuff all the time.
Yeah.
All the time. I don't want to hear, you know, the same opinion over and over and over again. So I think, you know, that your Twitter following and your audience reflects that too, is that your opinion is not just wanted in the nerd community. It's needed. We do kind of live in this echo chamber of just nerdy men regurgitating the same points and having the same arguments over and over again. And you guys are filling that giant void of a different voice that people want to hear. You know, it's needed in the community.
Yeah. I feel like because we know our shit too helps. Like, we're not just like, I think like a comic book. Like,
you're definitely not going to get cut the slack that a man would get cut. You know, they may take it easier on a dude that doesn't know. That doesn't, but no, you're not. That's the one downside I can definitely see.
My own husband is texting me like, what are you talking about? Then we're like, fuck off. Like, we're just.
Can I drop a little bit of a truth bomb out here?
Yeah.
Waiting for it.
A lot of times there's not a lot of representation from women, or we don't hear a lot about them, is because there is an underlying fear because of aggressive behaviors that come out of specifically male, generally audiences. They you get attacked, and it's really quite scary. And so I just thought, you know, if you say, oh, I don't see a lot of representation, that it's really kind of a self-fulfilling prophecy, because when, like you said, 50% of people are upset when a woman is in a comic book store, those 50% are very vocal on Twitter. And it's really kind of unnerving what happens to women that put themselves out there.
Well, that's kind of why I wanted to do this episode too, is I want to kind of put a call out to our fellow male nerds and let them know that, you know, women like you are out there, women like you want to be part of the community, and it kind of is on us to police that other 50%, you know. So I was a bouncer in downtown Chicago for 10 years. I took it very seriously, making sure that the dance floor where I worked at was a safe space for women. And I got into a lot of grimy things with creeps. I would not tolerate creepy behavior, because in my head, if I let the creeps do whatever they want, the girls aren't going to come to the dance club. And then next thing you know, I'm standing on the dance floor with 50 dudes and it's not a good time for anybody. It's really, it's not a good time for anybody. And I don't want
to
see,
watch that club. I'd love to see the behind the mirror, just watch the testosterone bounce off the walls and they'd be like,
I mean, wait, it happened every once in a while.
Why don't women like me?
It's it would happen every once in a while. You get crazy Russian dudes just pounding vodka, getting mad and mad. And then when the lights come on at the end of the night and they realize there's just like 30 dudes and like five girls left that are just dying for their Uber to get there.
Right.
They get very aggressive and very like, you know, almost violent because it's, you know, it's just the tone they set.
And it's not that it's just aggressive. So I recognize that a lot of times we created our own podcast and community because we wanted to have more conversations that were, I guess, a bit different. And like, we're very careful in our Facebook community as we don't want it to be what a lot of the other geek nerd ones are, that you go into it and there's more
it's
posts in there.
Pictures of Scarlett Johansson.
Sexy cosplay than there is people having actual discussion. And we're very careful to quickly remove anything that's and it's not that those things are terrible. I don't look down on people who are sharing those, but at the same point in time, it's kind
it's
of uninviting. It's kind of really showing that, hey, this is still our boys' club, just keep everybody else away. And it's really not what we're trying to do. I can see how it's hard to become vocal in the community, because a lot of the communities, if you're going to go find like-minded people, especially on the internet, well, it's full of a bunch of idiots out there.
Yeah, I think, you know, I would say that I feel like we were very lucky getting started, that we're pretty good at making friends, and we're pretty good at, you know, I've learned to be very good at social media and learning how to kind of play the game, but also just how to interact with people. Like, that's how you build your community. We just hit 5,000 followers a couple weeks ago. I never thought we were going to get there. We started with 12 and they were all 12 people we knew. And like three of them were me. So, you know, it's one of those that, like, when you go from that and you have strictly organic growth and you're strictly trying to figure out how do you take this little dog and pony show that we have and get it out to the larger community. Once you hit that, like, I'm mentoring people all the time on, this is how you do this. This is how you move into this realm. This is how you as a woman can stand up. But this is how you as a man can stand up. Because that, like you said, Steve, that is something else that has to happen. It's not just that women need to be more vocal. It's that the good guys need to be putting pressure on the shit guys and saying, you're not representing us. We're going to push you back down until you are the scum of the earth that we know you are. Because it's not a huge group. They're just really, really loud. And
you're
again,
right.
We
it's
have to,
not a very big group. Not all men is true. It's just if you say it, you're
then
one
you're
of
dick.
Them.
And it's like, we know that. We don't need you to tell us that. If you tell me that, it's like the same people who are like, well, I wasn't thinking about kicking that puppy. I was like, well, you know, I didn't think you were until you said that. Now I think you're a psycho. Yeah. So,
or like,
you know,
I'm not racist, but you're like,
inter-racist thing here. Exactly. And, you know, and again, I think we've been incredibly lucky. And I think that we've been very good at making friends. And we have some really great friends that we've made, very strong friendships who would stand up for us for just about anything. And you know, fortunately, they haven't really had to. We've had, like I said, we've had issues with a couple of people just coming around being skanky and just saying weird shit, and we're like, all right, whatever, and we're like offended by the wrong things. I'm like, I'm not offended by this, I'm offended that he said we had bushy eyebrows. Like, fuck you, we do not. Like,
yeah, that was, you know, the yeah that was the part best. Of the comment, like the I rest I got, like, yeah, that's nah. fine, but the
like I don't care, that doesn't bother me. But you know, we've had other people who have tried to like break into our community and do weird things or just be obnoxious. And we're like,
or pretend to be other
all,
people. We don't know.
I know
what's
who
going
you
on.
Are, catfish. Like, I know who you are. I'm not stupid. I can read you. You read exactly like you read in real life. Like, if you're going to catfish somebody, fucking put some effort into it. This is ridiculous. But, you know, but again, those are easy to slip. And like, my husband's like, why don't you just block them? I was like, because you know what? I'd rather have eyes on. I kind of like to, I'd rather see what you're doing rather than see you trying to be sneakier. So if I see what you're doing and you're being stupid, I can avoid it. I don't know. It's a very weird thing, but we've been really lucky. But I think we love what we do and we love the show. And, you know, the great thing is that Heather and I have a really strong friendship. We're very, very similar in a lot of ways. And we're also complementary in other ways, which is great. because we don't argue, we don't fight. I might say, hey, I want to do this show. She's like, ah, that sounds stupid. And I'm like, all right, it's a different show. And that's it. You know, that's the end of it. We've seen people who have like had knockdown dragouts and they're just, the show ends, they never speak again. And we're like, we're still here. So
you said in 2015, you know, you started around Gamergate and that was a tough time. But you said that as in like it was past tense tough time. You think newer, if somebody was going to try to replicate what you're doing now and just kind of have more conversations, just a purely, you know, woman podcast on Nerd, you think it's easier for them to find an audience and stuff now? Is it more open to it?
I've met a lot more female podcasters. And,
definitely.
And I, so I think that there is always a little more safety in numbers. I'm not saying that it's going to, that it's eliminated, but it still is a concern. But at the same time, you know, women can dox too.
Yeah. Yeah. But I would also say that in 2015, podcasting was not new at that point. But I think for the indie podcaster, it was still somewhat of a newer ground to break into. So I think everybody starting up kind of was at the same thing, or at least a lot of the people we know have been, you know, we're in the same boat that we were. And that I think now it's a much more popular pastime, and a, just the everyday person even knows what a podcast is. Like, right, when we started doing this, I barely knew what it was. Half the people I knew didn't have a clue, had never listened to podcasts. And now it's such a bigger part of our society and just how we get news today. I mean, even the people who have like a real radio show, the Dave Ramseys and Trevor Noahs of the world, who they have this other outlet, but even they have turned to podcasting because it is such a popular method of getting information out there. That, you know, 10 years ago, we wouldn't have been able to get this out there. There would have been nothing and nobody would have listened to anything. It would have been, did you ever see Pump Up the Jam back in the 90s?
Have I ever seen Pump Up the Jam? Have I said I was born in 1980, didn't I?
Yes. But, it, but so that's basically what it feels like. Or at least for, I would say for our first year and a half, we had about 200 Twitter followers. And maybe, I don't know.
We didn't, and we did not have that many downloads. No, we were on it. No, we were hoping for as many downloads as we had Twitter followers. Like
now we do, and more, so which is nice. But we did not then. We had about 12, or maybe up to like 40.
We're like, you know, if we could just get our Twitter followers to listen to the podcast.
Just download it. I don't give a shit if you listen to it. But again, it feels a long time like you're screaming into the void. And I think now that groups like we are founding members of Lady Pod Squad. Yep. Like it was us and like 12 other podcasts that just got together in a Twitter DM and said, hey, let's support each other. And, you know, we're in another group that's called The Castaways that has a bunch of different shows from around the country and one in New Zealand. Like we just, oh, shit, we got guys in Canada, too. So, you know, we're all over the place.
You don't count but Canada. Just, yeah.
Hey, buddy.
Sorry, guys. Eh? But you know, but to be able to get into these groups, and like Heather said, there is kind of this, you know, power in numbers that, you know, we support their shows, they support our show. And because we interact with them a lot and like on a real basis, like I try to make most, if not every interaction that I have on social media, something real. I don't want it to just be, I mean, I do go through and just retweet shit I don't care about, but I'm still retweeting, you know, I'm still supporting and I'm still retweeting. But if there's something that I want to interact with, it's going to be me. It's not going to be my random pre-thought generated bullshit response. It's going to be, hey, I love this episode. And when you guys talked about blah, 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 that was really great. Like, I want them to know that I'm listening. I'm not a huge podcast listener myself. I mean, I listen to our show, but, and I try to listen to, I try to listen to everyone else's shows as I can. I work from home. I don't,
you only have so many hours in a day and you try to support as many people as you can. So
I just finished reading my 111th book for the year. Like I have a lot of nerdy interests. I read a lot. So I don't even watch a lot of TV anymore, but I want to be able to have that connection. And this is the connection I have. So maybe I haven't gone to listen to every episode of every podcast of people that I'm friends with, but I definitely listen if they have a topic I'm interested in. I listen if my name's on there. I listen if I'm on there. Which I do a lot of guest spots on podcasts because a lot of friends will ask me, hey, do you want to come hang out on the show? And I'm like, sure, Heather has a day job. So come hang out. That sounds great. So, you know.
Well, I found, you know, with like we said, nerd kind of hitting pop culture and being widely accepted, I've kind of had my rants where, you know, just because you buy the AT-AT shirt from Target doesn't make you a fucking nerd. You know, if you don't if you don't own a comic, or if you've never read a book, or if you, you know, just because you watched the movie, you're not a damn nerd yet. You know, so that's a lot of big of a big trend in like Instagram models, and a lot of like the females you see that call themselves nerds, they just kind of throw on a Pikachu bikini and get
boobs.
massive amounts of followers. Do you find that those, you know, quotation mark nerds make the gauntlet a little bit harder for you to get through when you meet, you know, a new group of guys and they want you to know that you're not posing as a nerd, but you actually care about these things? Do those kind of, you know, situations make it harder for you guys to prove that you belong?
I don't think so. Honestly, yeah. I think the fact that we put bitches in our title just like immediately got people interested in, like, when we first started on PodCoin, right? I think they were still really, really new. So our name pops up there, and we have been on a bonus podcast on PodCoin since we started back in March. And so we get these massive boosts of people going, nerdy bitches, what the fuck is that? Hell yeah, I'm going to go listen to that. They don't know what it is. But no, I haven't found that, because we don't post that kind of shit. Like, we're not, no. You know, yeah. We're not pictures people have drawn of us. We're not putting our boobs out there.
Yeah,
so.
My Pikachu bikini shots are set to private.
Well, I mean, like, when you go into the room of like D&D guys and you're meeting like people at these podcast conventions, and, you know, like, Does that side of being a female nerd make it harder to be accepted by the male nerd community, because they're skeptical of whether, you know, you just bought the Target shirt and you're calling yourself a nerd, or you actually have read the books, seen the content, you know, and care about the community?
Yeah.
I would say it's probably 50-50 with how I feel when I meet a guy who says he's a big nerd. I'm like, oh, really? Are you? Let's talk about that. Because I do play D&D now. And like, we've played it. We had some gameplay episodes for our show where we took a bunch of newbies who'd never played it, and we had a game, and it was fantastic. So I think it's just like when you meet anybody, anybody's going to have a preconceived notion of what you may or may not be about. People think we're a little bit interesting because of our name, and so they're willing to listen to us and get it going. Maybe if we had just been the nerdy girls, then nobody would have given a shit, or they'd have been like, gamer girls, yeah, right.
Or
like,
the lady scientists.
Lady scientists. That's a quotation.
That's an inside
lady
joke.
Lady scientists.
In general, I think that if people have those notions, it doesn't either come across, or if it does,
they don't tell us.
They don't tell us, and we don't really care. Because, you know, honestly, in general, like, even if it is like a cosplayer that is clearly just out there to get the immediate clicks and likes, you know, hey, there's men out there to follow that demographic. Find your niche.
But you know,
and make
what?
It
if
work.
They put the time in to do the cosplay, and it's not just like lame ass Wonder Woman or something, if they've picked somebody who's an interesting character, hey, go on with it. I'm fine with it. I don't care. It doesn't really impact us and what we're doing, I don't think, at all.
Yeah.
So.
We objectify people plenty on our show. Yeah. And generally, they're men. So we don't have we can't really say, oh, you should never objectify women, because we'll be like, yeah, there's something wrong with this package. See how they're shadowing it for the picture? I'm really curious about what's going on down there.
We did a whole episode on that.
Batman nipples episode.
We did the Batman. But no, I mean, even years ago, we were doing like who wore it better, and looking at various costumes by different superheroes over the years. So the different
You guys are cod piece connoisseurs?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, we've seen a lot.
If they had extra dark shadowing in the promo photo, that means it's because it's extremely large and it needs to be less defined. Yep. However, if there's a shine, we understand what's
shiny
happening.
Shiny means small. Yeah. Yeah, we get it. So we get it. We had a friend of mine is a cultural anthropologist. She has a doctorate and all this. So she comes on the show and she's talking a whole episode about blue penises. There's a tribe in Africa somewhere that everybody's got a blue dick. And you're like, that's cool. Let's make that a keyword. So, you know, you do what you can.
I'm going to get in trouble later when I Google blue dick.
No, you gotta do a few times in blue penises. You'll probably see 37 episodes of our show using that as a keyword. So.
It's there.
Yeah, again, you gotta go with what works. So.
So to dive into like a few of your interests, I know you guys do a lot of book episodes on Nerdy Bitches. You said you read 111 books. What genre do you tend to lean on mostly? Is it sci-fi, fantasy?
No, I read a lot of free books because when you read 100 plus books a year, you can't afford them. So I get a lot from the library, or I find free ebooks and whatever. I actually mostly read mysteries, romances, biographies, and like memoirs. I like a lot of like celebrities, biographies. I don't give a shit about like Woodrow Wilson. Like, I'm not reading that. But I, you know, I've read like both of Debbie Reynolds' books and Carrie Fisher, you know. So I will actually look at my nerd icons that I like, and I will read their biographies and their stories. And I read, you know, I said I read a shit ton of Star Wars books just because they're out there and I want to know. I got to know everything.
I read whatever our book club is, so it's going to be something nerdy in general.
So if Liz puts the sticker on it, you're all for it.
Yeah, I have to, because it's really awkward to sit there.
You pick a lot of the books. You pick a lot of the books that we've done.
Yeah, I mean, but I don't read nearly as much. If I read, it's a comic book, and we've only been able to do one comic book club. So
far.
Yeah, so far.
Yeah, my interests are far more than I have hours in the day. Mm-hmm. So I would love to be able to read more and do more, but as
audio,
you know,
books,
podcasts. Well, see, I do listen to a lot of podcasts. If I'm in my car, I haven't listened to a new song and I don't know how long. It's mostly podcasts while I'm in the car driving around at work and things like that. And then when I come home, it's TV shows or movies that I'm trying to write articles on, or we're going to talk about on the podcast and things like that. So there's a lot of content out there. It's a daunting thing to try to consume it all.
I try to keep up with audiobooks as best as I can. I try to do an audiobook and then binge a bunch of podcasts that I missed. And then I'll do an audiobook, but I have a decent commute each day.
Well, when you've got the time to, my husband's the same way. He'll do audiobooks, podcasts, like game podcast type things and tech stuff. He listens to our show on the commutes on Fridays when they're out. And I'm like, I just get these texts that are like, Tony Stark's jizz? Because we'll have said something like that. And he's like, what the fuck? Like, I'm like, meh. It sounded good at the time.
It sounded like something I said, so I'm assuming he was listening to our podcast, but it might have just been a text. Yeah,
just a weird coincidence, that's all.
Well, I talked about Ultron being Tony Stark's jizz coming back to jizz all over him, so where that
fair
one
enough.
Came from. So.
Fair enough. Yeah, we're both big Brandon Sanderson fans, so we if we delve into the books, it's usually in the fantasy realm. Mm-hmm. Mistborn is probably one of my favorite books that I've read in the last two decades, for sure.
I think the weirdest book we've done for the book club was Neil Gaiman's American Gods.
That's weird.
Have you watched the show?
No, I haven't. Heather has.
But I guess I can mail you that DVD of this.
Yeah, I've been waiting for that.
It's on the list.
I haven't read the book. I'm a Neil Gaiman fan. I have.
You just listen to our podcast. It's just as fucked up.
I have the Sandman. I have the Sandman graphic novels. So I am a Gaiman fan. But the show is actually really good.
Yep.
Yeah. Someone gets eaten by a vagina in like the first chapter of the book. So
it's like the introduction.
First episode.
Well, all right, right there.
First episode.
So yeah.
Yeah, it took me.
Set the tone.
I was listening to the audiobook and I'm like, what just happened? I'm like, I have to rewind. Something big just happened.
we find books for the show that, you know, we've never read or that were childhood favorites or things that we've always liked. And then we found some that we're like, I fucking hate this book and this author can kiss my ass. And it came up again today.
It keeps coming up.
Oh, we did Veronica Roth's Divergent series, And
I was in that movie.
Were you really?
Yes, I was. Awesome.
Please tell me you weren't in the third one.
I was in the first one. I was an extra on the first one, and I got handpicked by the director to actually be in scenes. So like I'm actually standing like 2 feet from Mekhi Phifer in a few scenes, and
watching that goddamn movie watching.
We've never seen it.
I'll send you the screenshot. It's all good. I'll send you the screenshot. It's on my gram.
Yeah, we decided to do all three books for that particular book club, and this was our first year doing them. So we read three books. And we both were like, have you finished the first book? It's so good. If you finished the second book, it's so good. Finish the book. What the fuck just happened on this third book? We're so mad.
Yeah.
So mad. And I'm still mad. We did it 4 years ago. And it came up today. One of our rabid listeners tagged somebody who was having a what the fuck happened with this episode. And she's like, you've got to listen to Nerdy Bitches talk about it because, oh my God. And I'm like, still mad 4 years later. And she's like, I wish I'd never read it. I said, yeah, that feeling never goes away.
Yeah,
like,
it sticks with you.
It's very visceral. I mean, it's very weird.
It's got a little Game of Thrones-esque to it, but, you know, not quite as bad.
So mad.
Yeah, no, I have the similar kind of view with the Stephanie Myers. Not as the Twilight. I've never read the Twilights. I won't do it.
Was it The Host?
But they made us read The Host in my book club, and that made me very upset. Like,
it took me 3 years to read that book. I read 100 books a year, and it took me 3 years to get to the point where I could force myself to finish it. It gets better at the end. I guess the end is better than the beginning, but God.
It's a shitty Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
Yeah, it's pretty terrible.
And they made a movie of that one, too.
Mm-hmm. Did they?
I didn't watch that one either. Yeah,
I didn't watch it.
I wrote a review for Mortal Engines. Everyone says the book is great, but after the movie, I just really don't even want to pick it up. It's kind of, you know, don't want to do it.
The book is better than the movie.
I've heard that too, but yeah.
I didn't have any.
Most of our YA stuff is Harry Potter related.
Yes. We are doing Harry Potter.
There's so many adults in love with Harry Potter. I don't even know if you can consider it YA anymore. It's
like, yeah. We're reading that book, the book series to our kids, and we have like the Harry Potter, was it Battle of Hogwarts, like deck building game that we play with our kids. We have like a card table set up in our house. We play it just about every night. We keep running games going in that.
Awesome.
Oh, that's fun.
We're getting back into Harry Potter now.
Yeah, I've got a poker table set up with 1,000-piece Star Wars puzzle on it right now. My niece is like, I want to come over and do a puzzle. I'm like, I only have 1,000-piece puzzles. She's like, okay. She was here one night, and I'm like, damn, this puzzle is going to take me a month.
Is it my puzzle that I gave you?
No. It's a
We give each other puzzles.
Well, you gave me the New Hope one, and then I got the Empire Strikes Back one. And then my brother-in-law was out, and he's like, hey, Liz, I picked up this Yoda puzzle for you. And I looked at it, and it's Yoda's a fucking mosaic. I'm like, are you kidding me? No. Like, 1,000 pieces with a tiny 1,000 pieces on top of them. I'm like, I hate you.
Yeah, those must, I have
two children under the age of 5, and I have a really dope-ass 1,000-piece Disney villains puzzle that I'm dying to do. I had it out for like 2 days, and I was like, yeah, nope.
They will
nope.
just destroy
it's going on the shelf for a few years.
Yeah, yeah. That's going to be in the toilet. So
yeah, I've like banned my 3 and 2 year old niece and nephew from coming over while the puzzle table is up because I'm like, no, they will just because once you lose one piece, puzzle's done. Like,
and you don't know you've lost it until the end.
Until the end.
You did give me a puzzle, Heather. I think you gave me pugs and donuts or something.
Oh yeah,
mm-hmm. My dog ate one of the pieces right off the coffee table. I was like, well.
There it goes. Game's over.
That puzzle's done. Game's over.
This thing's trash.
Exactly. Yeah.
So you guys do a lot of themes with your podcast. It's, you know, we do like a weekly news show and these interviews. You guys do a lot of like you said, Bat Month and your book clubs and stuff. What is your way of coming up with a lot of these themes that you do? Is it well thought out or is it just fuck it. Let's talk about Batman.
No, it's pulled right out of our ass. It's 10 minutes before.
Fucking impossible. Oh, I'm sorry. Is this an explicit tag podcast? I should have asked for that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Sure. We've already talked about Blue Dick.
Oh, like, yeah.
It's blue, I sure it's hope
politically
so.
Correct. Yeah. Yep. We struggle with that. In fact, our next episode that people are going to hear is just an assemblage of articles that are not quite enough to make a podcast episode, but not but not enough that we didn't want to talk about it, especially when a writer described that a woman kept her ID and lipstick inside a coin purse inside her vagina, and that passed the editors.
Well, I think, and especially that episode, because we, the episode we have coming out this week is kind of a throwback to the Bat Month that we did in April. And that was our first actual theme month where we did the whole month the same thing. And we did Batman because that's Heather's birthday month. And we did Hush, the comic book or the graphic novel Hush.
Yep.
Well, the movie just came out at the end of July, beginning of August. So we're like, oh my God, we got to cover the movie. And so we did, and you'll hear that one on Friday. But then we needed something in between because September is our next theme month for my birthday, and we're doing Shark Month. So we're going to do a whole month about shark movies, but we're also going to cover a lot of conservation type stuff, do some fundraising, that kind of thing. So they're very important to me and to our planet. So I want to make sure to, I'm a giant shark nerd. I have been since I was a little kid. So
I know. She's a shark nerd. I'm a Batman nerd. You see how the themes worked out.
Yeah. Well, mine was down between Shark Month and like Happy Birthday Bilbo, because Lord of the Rings, Bilbo's birthday is in September as well. So again, I'm a nerd enough to know that. So. September 21st.
His birthday September 21st?
Yes, it is. Oh, and Frodo's too.
I'd see, and that's that fine line. You know Frodo's birthday.
But it's also 6 days before
mine. I know who Frodo is, but I don't know his birthday.
It's 6 days before my birthday. So my birthday's at the end of September. So it's close enough. So I recognize those things.
Your birthday is September 27th?
She probably knows the shoe size.
It is. I can't tell you when Batman's birthday is, but I can tell you when Frodo's is.
I don't know when Batman's birthday is.
Whose birthday is the 27th?
So you and Steve share a birthday then.
Boom. Yay.
Yeah, what?
Okay, so I also shared my birthday with my ex-husband, whose name was also Steve. So
yeah.
Coincidence.
Different Steve. A little bit, maybe. Maybe not.
Little did you know, as I rip off my face mask, I'm right here, bitch.
And dead. So
yeah.
I have to tell y'all, though.
That would be the first clever thing he's ever done.
That is the truth.
Now right that was shots fired. Fuck off, Steve.
Fuck off. He pops up every couple of months, and I'm like, just go away. We've been divorced for 10 years. I'm like, fuck off right now. So that's how old I am. I'm divorced 10 years ago. Yeah, so that's how we came up with that. And again, we just needed a filler in between, like an actual topic, because Heather's going out of town. So we're recording like 4 shows this week to get, you know, ready for this month that's coming up. So we're like, we got a couple of things. And I actually had to had a fangirl in that one a little bit because I had to do a Twitter party. I am covering the Fandemic tour here in Houston in October. So it's going to have a ton of celebrities coming to that. And one of the big ones, and he was on the Twitter party with us, was Sean Patrick Flannery, Boondock Saints.
Yep. We did see that. I retweeted it.
Yeah. Yeah. Awesome.
So kind of had some interactions with him that were kind of like, and I told Heather, I said, well, we're getting married next week. Send a toaster. Yeah. So, you know.
Chicago Comic-Con actually started tonight. So I have press passes to the Wizard World for Chicago for the next for the weekend. But that's I have a bunch of work to do. So I'm going to try to squeeze in as much content as I can. I always feel the pressure from my brother to... Yeah. I went to C2. We launched the podcast with like 20 interviews I did from C2E2. So now whenever these conventions come, I set the bar way too fucking high for myself on the first convention. And now it's just like, hey, man, where's the 20 interview package? Like, I need the zip file. What's going on? And it's like I talked to like 4 cosplayers.
Yeah, we did Comic Palooza back in May, and we recorded, I think, 4 or so panel. We were actually on multiple panels this year. When we do our own live show every year, we play Cards Against Humanity live with our audience at the show every year, which is a lot of fun. So we recorded the 3 other panels we were on, plus the one that I moderated. So I'm just like shoving them out as episodes. I'm like, we're busy. Heather moved this summer. So we're like, let's fill this one in over here. And here's the comic diversity panel, and here's, you know, had a podcast like a geek or I don't know, whatever. So.
Yeah. I'm going to be in FanX in Salt Lake City next week. or the week after.
Take your Zoom.
And I would, but I do not have a press pass because it's in Salt Lake City, so I didn't even bother putting nerdy bitches out there.
Man, you got to, like, take advantage of that.
You can get one from Craig.
You got the at the nerdy bitches email. Use it. Okay. Use that shiz.
Yeah.
I'd love to see you
rolling around Salt Lake City with a nerdy bitches t-shirt. That'd be hilarious.
I'm all about this podcast life because basically most of my life just became a tax deduction.
I'm
cashing in press passes and writing off Netflix like nobody's business, man. I'm all about this life.
Wait, we can write off Netflix?
Yes. You could do your movie card too. I did my movie pass.
My AMC A-list is a tax write-off. My Hulu, my internet, my Netflix.
Every
video game I buy.
$45 a month now.
I made like $38 last month. That's income. You talk to anybody. You got four fucking accountants in your family. What the fuck are you doing out writing this shit off?
They all work for the IRS.
They all work for the IRS, and they would be flipping their shit if they find out.
No, it's true.
Man, every CPA I talk to says, "No, you're a legitimate business. These are write-offs. If you write one article about it, if you do one podcast, I'm trying to fly out to California to visit my brother. If we record one episode, them plane tickets are getting right the fuck off. I'll tell you that right now.
We do a live podcast. I'm out here too.
That's what.
And then Matt Nagyros is out here too.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, so again,
take advantage
of
that podcast life, man.
Yes, FanX is coming up. We also have an H-Town PodFest that we're doing with some of our other local podcasters here, but it's not just like us getting together. It's us getting together and then like saying, hey, crazy fans, you want to come to a bar and hang out with us? And some did last year. It was really weird talking to the fans of the True Crime Podcast because this one lady's like, my husband was murdered 10 years ago and they removed all of his fingers. We're like, what are you talking about?
Like, go talk to the True Crime people. Jesus.
Yeah. Like, we have our creepers in the nerd community. Those are like creepers.
They don't even put their names on. They go by initials on the show. They're like, we're not putting our faces out there.
It's because they don't know how to get away with murder and stuff, you know? So.
Well, they're teaching people.
Well, we appreciate you guys carving an hour out for us for this conversation. Like we said, we like to start these conversations and include as many opinions and perspectives as we can. It was fun, you know, just being able to kind of shoot the shit with you ladies. We also wanted to take this opportunity to let our audience know at the Cantina that nerdy bitches are out there. They're out there.
Yep.
And you can find them.
We're everywhere.
We actually have a lot of active females in our Facebook community that post memes and get involved in these discussions. We're very kind of proud of the inclusion rate that
good.
Send
them
we're
our way
sporting.
Because our listeners are a sausage fest, apparently.
Yeah, we think we're like the Cosmo, like, you know, how guys like to flip through Cosmo to get like insight.
They're like, look behind the curtain. Like, what's happening?
I keep saying female, and it always reminds me, you know, of this. I did an interview with a feminist, like I said earlier. She told me that whenever you're talking to women, you should never use the term female because females are reserved for animals, and it's degrading to women to use the term female. And I've been saying female this
bitches.
Whole time, and it keeps coming in my head.
Bitches,
like,
we don't give a shit.
Yeah, bitches is technically dogs, so I guess we don't mind if you kind of flip flop those around. Yeah.
Actually, I was looking at Twitter today and the analytics, and it'll tell you like what is your listeners' like top interest. And ours was dogs. Like, really?
Really?
Awesome.
That's all I follow on Instagram is dogs. Just every dog's Instagram I just follow.
Hashtag dog life. Yeah, I recognize celebrity dogs faster than people I went to high school with. The Will Wheaton's dogs and cat, I can spot them a mile away. So.
Yep. Well, why don't you ladies take this time to promote whatever you guys want to promote? Let the Cantina know where they can find you, how they can listen.
Sure. You can find us at nerdybitches.com. We're on all of the podcatcher platforms. And you can find us at Twitter at nerdybitchespod, on Pinterest and Instagram at nerdybitches. And then Facebook, we have our Nerdy Bitches page you can search for. We also have like a closed discussion group to keep the creepers out. And we also have a book club reading challenge group. So if you go to our main group, you can find the subgroups as well. What do we have coming up? We have Shark Week or Shark Month. We have an entire month coming up starting September. And we're going to be doing, you know, some of the classic movies that are awesome about sharks and some shitty movies about sharks and some conservation and hopefully fundraising efforts as well.
Oh, that's it. That's where you find us. Yeah. That is where we were waiting for me to come in. Like, you know, I also have a side Twitter. No, I don't.
Well, I have a side blog. If anybody's interested, I write a blog called selfsavingprincess.com. And you can get on there and find out about what it's like to take your life back from a shitty situation and make things better.
So. From shitty Steve's.
Yes, from shitty Steve's. Not the nice Steve's. I'm sure you're lovely.
I how do you spell his? With a V or a PH?
With a V.
With a V. See, I'm not a savage. I spell it with a PH. Ah. So there's a definite distinction.
So now you're the Steve I can replace in my mind with a shitty one. So.
Yes.
Much better. He would never have the cool tattoos, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, I go pretty hard with the tattoos. I can't help it. I'm a degenerate like that.
You're not going to hear any complaints from us. We're tattoo girls.
Yeah. So any listeners, reach out to us if you want to know about some other awesome nerdy female podcasts. I'm sorry, women podcasts.
Lady podcasts.
We've got excellent recommendations for you.
Yeah, we have a lot. You can also follow hashtag Lady Pod Squad, and you find just tons of movie podcasts, true crime, dogs. I mean, literally anything you could think of. There's some sort of lady podcast out there, and we're probably connected to them in some way. So
okay. And what's the next book?
Oh,
Good Omens. Book?
Yes.
Oh, it is Good Omens.
We're still waiting for it for the library.
Yeah, I watched the show. Okay. Again, I watched the show.
Waiting to read the book before I watch the show.
I'm a big David Tennant fan.
Yeah.
I love David Tennant.
He's awesome in it. Awesome.
We're massive Doctor Who.
I think they went a little overboard with the contacts. I couldn't get over the contacts. Yeah. It was a little distracting.
Mm-hmm. Eyes are always weird. You ever notice that? Anytime the eyes are fucked up, it's just like, ugh, I can't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a little distracting to me. I kept just like finding myself going like, they're so fucking orange.
I think that's a big reason why I didn't want to watch The Host. Because that was one of the things was the eyes was supposed to be silver or have the little weird little worms that would swim past them. And I was like, I'm good. Yeah. I don't need your freaky eyes. Plus, it's a shitty book. But yeah,
side note.
All right. Well, thank you again. Thanks very much for the time and the conversation. And we hope to have you on. Maybe we'll actually have some direction next time and talk about something. But if not, shooting the shit and just having a good time is always up.
Definitely. We're always happy to talk about ourselves or really anything else.
All right.
Thank you, guys. Yeah.
Thanks.
Thank you, nerds, for sticking around and listening to episode 35 of the Nerd Cantina Show. As always, we'll ask that you support our podcast, both us and the Nerdy Bitches, by subscribing on whatever podcatcher you're using to listen to. And also, please take the time to leave us a rating review on iTunes or any other platform, as it helps us grow our audience. I hope to continue these conversations with you all at thenerdcantina.com/community. And until the next episode, talk to you later, nerds.